Matthew chapter 6 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6. So, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is going to go over three secrets, three things that if you do in secret, God will reward you. I am going to cover secret number one. I have 7 minutes. Pastor Jeff is going to share secret number two. He has 7 minutes. And Pastor Gary is going to share secret number three, and he has 7 minutes. So let's jump right in, because obviously we don't have very much time. Chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus is speaking. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. People back in those days, they would like to, you know, they would give, but they wanted to kind of show off. They wanted to bring the attention to themselves. So when they would give, they would hire some trumpet players, as you see, and the trumpet players would blow and say, everyone, pay attention. Look at what this person is going to do. And this person would go, I am going to give lots of money to feed the poor, or I'm going to give money to build a wing on the temple, or they would show off in some way. And Jesus says, you know, they've received their reward in full. Now, sometimes we don't blow trumpets. Like this here is a, if you give to this hospital and pay for the wing of the hospital, you get your name on that memorial stone that you were a great giver, and in the name, you know, of that, it'd be on the stone. Or have you ever been in churches where I've gone to Lions churches, and on every pew and on the windows and on the pulpit and, you know, are these little placards that say, this was donated by Pastor Gary, you know, and it's kind of, it's okay, but that's kind of your reward. That's kind of like blowing a trumpet. I was thinking about our parking lot that, you know, it's going to cost now a couple $100,000 to pave all of the parking lot. And I was thinking, just play with me. This is not going to be serious. Some people after other two services said, are you really doing this? No. But let's say I decide that I'm going to pay for the parking lot, and in my humbleness, I will pay for the parking lot. I just want to let all of you know. And I think we should call it the Toomey parking lot after me. Are you okay with that? Because I figure a lot of you like to drive on me or drive over me. But, you know, humble the Toomey lot, maybe a sign as you're coming in. But then someday I'm going to stand before Jesus. And when Jesus is kind of looking through my life to see kind of my rewards in heaven, I might have to remind Jesus, hey, Jesus, I don't see that hundreds of thousands of dollars that I gave towards the Mars Alliance parking lot. And Jesus goes, no, you were paid in full. You received your reward on earth because you didn't do it in secret, and you got lots of people patting your back. So Jesus is saying, we should not. If you do something publicly, that's going to be a praise. You should do it secretively. Here's, by the way, a special trumpet for those that want to blow their own horn, okay? I like this version here. Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. So when you're giving, Christian psychologists say, you're either giving with the motive to honor Christ and to love others, or with the motive to actually exalt yourself. Verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So I believe God rewards us. When we give in secret, God has great rewards. And I don't I think 95% of the reward God gives us is waiting for us in heaven. I think that's, for me, that's probably wise. Because if God gave me all the rewards now on earth, which to me is like the prosperity, health, wealth thing, like if God gave me all the rewards here on earth, it would be meaningless because I'm going to live for eternity. I'd rather have it tucked safely away in my heavenly retirement account. And if he gave it all to me now, it probably would ruin me with pride. So 95% of it, God says, look, you'll be with me soon enough. I'm just going to hold it for you up here. But I think sometimes 5%, God does reward us now when we give in secret. Now, I went to Walmart to get the candy for Father's Day. And while I'm in Walmart, I'm trying to think of what kind of gifts can I get. There's like 100,000 different things I could have bought to give out as gifts. And I was thinking about God, that God likes to reward, and there's 100,000 ways God can reward us. He could reward us with money, but that doesn't mean as much to God just to give us a heavenly card with cash in it. I think God likes to reward maybe by bringing special joy in your life. Maybe by giving you a special spouse. Maybe by giving you wonderful children. Maybe by giving you good health. Maybe by giving you a good job. Maybe by protecting you on the road. I think God has 100,000 ways to reward us, different for every one of us, than just, here's cash. He's got a lot of ways that God rewards us. Well, men, as fathers, give to your family, give to your kids, give your time. In the diary of Brooks Adams is a note about a special day when he was 8 years old. He wrote, "Went fishing with my father, the most glorious day of my life." And through the next 40 years, there was constant reference to that day and the influence it had on his life. Here's what the father wrote. Brooks' father was Charles Francis Adams, Abraham Lincoln ambassador to Great Britain. He also had a note in his diary about the same day. It simply said, "Went fishing with my son, a day wasted." Fathers, give time, give your love, give your heart to your children. Give in secret, God will reward you. Pastor Jeff is going to lead us to secret number two.
I only have 7 minutes, so I have to talk really fast to get everything in. Verse 5 of this passage begins like this. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them." Verse 5 begins, "And when you pray," and there is an assumption in that verse that we will pray. You know, too often prayer is kind of the avenue of last resort. We use it as a lifeline to extricate ourselves from the difficult situations that we have put ourselves into. We have this expression that when everything else fails, let's pray, when really prayer ought to be the first thing that we do. But Jesus warns us, he says, "But don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." Now, almost certainly he was talking in this passage about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious rulers of Israel. They were the ones that kept the law. They were the ones that not only took the law that Moses had given to the Jewish people, but they expanded upon it into where it had become simply a perfunctory ritual. And not only did they try and maintain that they were going to keep the law with their life, but they appointed themselves the monitors of everyone else's life to make sure that they too kept that law. And it was meaningless, and it was shallow. And they found out that they got their reward. You know, a good Jewish man was to pray 3 times a day. And we saw that in Daniel, right? Daniel is praying 3 times a day, and King Darius issues a decree. And of course, he gets in trouble with that, and that's what ends up getting him thrown into the lion's den. And so these guys would go, and 3 times a day, but it was never about having a relationship with God. It was always about, look at who I am, and look at my prayer, and look at my orations, and look how great I am. And those guys, God says, you've got your reward. Their reward was the praise of men. And it was shallow, and it was fickle, and it was temporal, and it was not eternal. And that was their reward. But Jesus says here in this passage, he says, look, instead of that, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Now, going into your room and being alone with God was a foreign concept to these Jewish men. Prayer was part of worship. Worship was done corporately. Worship was done in big groups. And so the very idea of having a personal relationship with God was something that they had a difficult time grasping. But you see, Jesus is changing the paradigm here. And no longer did they need to think of God only in terms of being that fearful God who was ready to strike them dead for any false step. But now they could have that personal, quiet, intimate time with God. And he says, look, go into your closet. For them, it would have been, in those days, it would have been a storeroom, a place where they could get away. And what that does, it gives us an opportunity to relieve ourselves from the distractions and the noise of this world. I mean, how many of you moms would like to have a few minutes of quiet? Am I right? Yeah. I see some hands go up. All of us, there is just noise and constant noise in our life. I see some of our young people going around, and actually I see some older people doing it too, with the earbuds in their ears. I mean, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know how they would do it. It drives me crazy. And God says, look, you've got to get rid of some of the distractions, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to go into your prayer closet. Get rid of the distractions. Eliminate the noise. He said, and then I want to really deal with you in a special and unique way. We look at prayer, we understand prayer always as us talking to God, and that's the easy part. But you see, when we get quiet and alone before God, it gives us the opportunity to listen to God, for us to open up that two-way communication. Verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. In that day, in that culture, it was Roman-occupied Israel, and had been strongly influenced by the Greek culture before that. And so there were all sorts of pagan deities to be found, at least in the minds of the people there. And there was all sorts of pagans. And they thought that if they said the name of their deity over and over and over and over again, that somehow their deity would hear them and answer those prayers. We heard that with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Those guys prayed all morning. Then Elijah confronts them and says, hey, is your God sleeping or what's going on here? And so they pray even harder, and they say the name of the deity over and over till they work themselves up into a frenzy. But it didn't do anything. It didn't mean anything. You see, prayer is not an incantation. It's not as though if we say the right words, that somehow some sort of magical thing is going to happen because of the words that we say. It's never been about the words. It's always been about our heart. And some people look at all of this and say, well, is Jesus saying don't have public prayers? Of course not. There's a pattern of that within the scriptures. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed in front of the tomb of his friend Lazarus. But he says there's a special time. He says, so get in your closet. Don't just babble endless words. The King James calls them vain repetitions. Charles Spurgeon had this to say. He says, true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine opinion of great length. You see, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In fact, Romans, Paul would write in chapter 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You see, prayer is not about getting what we want. It's not about wearing God down by our persistence until he sees things our way. Prayer is about us opening up a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe. That's where our reward comes from. That is our reward, is us being alone with God, allowing him to speak into our hearts and to mold us and shape us the way he wants us to be. Pastor Gary?
The third secret that's talked about in Matthew chapter 6 is beginning in verse 16. And it talks about fasting, something that when you fast, do you look somber as the hypocrites do? For they disfigure their faces to show the men that they are fasting. You notice what, you get the drift of what's happening here. If you remember last week, Pastor Joe talked about the six things that we do that are an outward. They all start here with the heart, but yet they're things that we do to other people. Murder, lying, our oath, divorce, getting mad at somebody when they're angry at you or whatever, to love our enemies. You know, if you recall, I made it through the first cut, but I didn't make it the second cut. But what it's getting down to, it was what Jesus was trying to get across was, it all starts here in the heart. You got to realize that we saw when they talked about giving and when it talked about prayer, these men, these Pharisees, these people who were supposed to be super religious, they were all about themselves and doing it for show. What can I get attention for? What can I look at? And Jesus pretty much told them, here's your reward. Yeah, you'll get platitudes. You'll get a great job. Hey, ready to go. Way to do it. But that's it. It's shallow. It's not very deep in our lives. But when we look at these, the giving, the prayer, and the fasting, Jesus is saying, look at your heart. You do these things because you want the gratitude or the platitudes, but what you're doing means nothing to me. God wants our worship to be about Him, focused on Him, what He has for us. In Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 3 it says, "Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" They were crying out to God, "God, why aren't you paying attention to us? We're doing all the right things. We're going to church. We're praying. We're giving. We're doing all this. But you're not listening to it. Lord, we got need here. You need to help us." "Yet on the day of fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. This is the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed, for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord?" Listen, God's not saying, He's telling us, and Jesus is saying to the disciples, listen, don't do it for show. Where is your heart in all this? What do you believe? What are you looking for? Do you want men to give you good? Fine, go for it. You know, I can stand up here and say they were disfiguring their faces. I can stand up here and make all kinds of faces or mess up my hair and do this and say, "Oh, look at me." Or I can give a fancy sermon or whatever. But God's saying, I don't care about that. Where is the heart? You know, Pastor Joe, Pastor Jeff, and myself, we preach but not because we look at and say, well, how many people said, "Well done, Gary, good job." It's not about that. If it is, shame on us. We preach God's word. We speak the truth because we want to hear God one day say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." It's not about what we do here or how we do it, but what our attitude is. Is our attitude right with God? Are we seeking to please Him? Or are we seeking to please man? You know, as dads, we got to set an example for our children. As the head of the house, even as our Heavenly Father is the head of us. Our children, you know, getting to watch our grandkids grow up close by, it's really great because you see the things that you did to your children, and now they're doing to their children, and you say, "Hey, they paid attention," you know? But the reward is they're seeking to bring them up the way God wants them to. We got to seek out what we do to please us. And men, as men of the house, what are we doing to please our kids? Are we just doing things, taking them places? Those are all great. But Jesus says one of the greatest things that we can do is be in prayer for them. Fasting means giving up something for God. We can give up food, we can give up candy, we can give up all kinds of things for ourselves and say, look at me, I'm not eating sweets this week. As you can see, it's hard for me to do away with. But you know what? God's saying, I want to do it. I want to see where your heart is. When we show our kids that we love them enough that we're going to get on our knees and pray for them, that's one thing. But even when they're not around, going to God and saying, Father, protect them. Are you praying for your kids? Are you watching? Are you having an attitude of, what can I show them? What can I do? This great dad? Or do you have an attitude of, Father, let them see you in me? That's where it begins. That's where the heart is. That's what Jesus was trying to get to his disciples and all the people that were listening in, is where is your heart with God? As we come to worship, as we come to know God, is it as, come look at me? Or did you see God today and what he's done? I'm going to close in a prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you and you've opened our eyes, you've opened our hearts. It's not about me. We live in a society that says it's all about me, but Lord, it's not. I'm just someone you chose because you saw something in me that others didn't. And I give you the praise. Lord, examine each one of our hearts here today, dads especially. And I know some of us, our kids are grown up and they have their own families, but Lord, we can still be that dad that you want us to be. One who's not afraid to get on his knees in the quiet of his closet and pray. Not afraid to give all that he has so his kids will not be without, even if it means them being without. And not for the attention of it. And giving up the food or whatever it is that you give up so that you, Lord, will receive the glory. Father, it's all about our attitude towards you. And may you give us a pure one today as we worship you. In your name I pray. Amen.